Okay, so I'm Ten Harbour, and it's the 2nd of March, and we're at the Marlborough, and I'm interviewing...
Ronnie.
Awesome. Okay, Ronnie, so tell me when you first came to Brighton.
I moved to Brighton about 4 and a bit years ago, so it was January of 2000 and... nine. I've been here ever since.
Okay, where'd you move from?
I moved from Italy, from Rome. I was living in Rome, which is where I was born.
Why did you move to Brighton?
Well, myself and Giorgio, who was my girlfriend at the time, wanted to move to England, but I wasn't very keen to move to London because it's just not my cup of tea. And so I said, oh, why don't we go and check Brighton out? Because I'd been here maybe 10 years ago for a Pride, so I'd been here over a day. And it felt really nice, but I actually had no idea where I was moving to, so it was all a bit of a coincidence, really. I didn't think we'd gonna end up staying here for 4 years, but here we go.
What were your first impressions?
That's very interesting. I think we spent the first few months being very bored. It was lovely. It was like really nice for me coming from a big city with a really stressful job. It's very nice of the really easy Brighton lifestyle, but we really didn't know what to do with our free time, because in a way I think Brighton is all about who you know. Like, it's very much, particularly like in terms of like LGBT life, like 4 years ago it was like we'd go into a bar and like everyone would be really young and we'd know anyone, and we couldn't quite figure out what everyone kept saying, that Brighton is great and there's a lot going on and it's a small town with a lot happening, and it was not very accessible. So that was the first impression. Like, I was really enjoying the lifestyle, but I was not feeling very included in anything in particular.
So explain that a little bit more. Why weren't you included? Or why didn't you feel included?
I think it's a very community-based town. So it's like, unless you actually have very close friends or you belong to a community, you're kind of left to yourself. Like, it's not a big city where like there's entertainment for everyone. It's very much like word of mouth and being invited to places and so far and so on. So I think that was my first impression. I quite liked it, but I took quite a long time to actually get into the spirit and get to know people and be really happy.
So how did you get into it then?
I think moving around houses, flatmates, kind of quite like by coincidence, just bumping into people and into that, I suppose.
And where did you venture out to? What places did you go when you first got here?
We used to go, 4 years ago, we used to go to what was the ghetto, and then slowly discovered the other gay bars, which we really didn't like at all, which is why then we decided to start a club night, I suppose, just as we're going to do something really fun and go out with our friends. It was very much that, like actually starting it at night where we could feel comfortable and want to hang out. And then the rest of it is all like, you know, live music and other places. And now that I know Brighton really well, like I wouldn't move anywhere else. I really enjoy it. But.
So tell me, you say that you didn't enjoy some of the other places.
Oh God, I can't say horrible things about the gay bars. I think as a slightly older woman, the gay scene in Brighton is very student-y. It's very like 18, 23 kind of white male, but you know, or just kind of like really young lesbians or young boys, and it's just not particularly interesting if you are in your 30s and you walk into a club and everyone's looking you up and down, and it's kind of a bit of an attitude, and it just didn't really suit me. The music isn't great, and you know, I completely appreciate that it suits certain people, and I think it's there for a reason, and I think it's great. Like, I think what's, you know, like having gay bars is really great. Some countries don't have them, so I'd never even like dare saying that anything should shut down, but it obviously doesn't suit anyone. So I think it's great if you're a student and you move to a town where being a homosexual is so easy, and you know, I appreciate that.
So what was missing?
I think good music and like an older crowd, a place where you can actually go and meet people and make friends rather than like a place that feels a bit like a meat market, which is again very understandable. Like, you're 18, you leave home, you want to pull, like, it's completely fine. But I think when you go out in your 30s with your group of friends, you really want to just meet nice people and like, have a good time, and you don't particularly care about judging anyone around you or being judged. Like, it's a lot more about just having a lovely time. So I think that's what was missing. So yeah, that was the idea. Just have a night that wasn't exactly a club night, but was, you know, quite playful, which is why we came up with all the like kind of side entertainment and the posters and the theme, because we thought, oh, we're going to keep it slightly childish and a bit playful so people don't come in and like get really drunk and take drugs and just like start checking each other out. Like, there'll be a bit of like an excuse for interaction, and like people do the same anyway, but yeah, that was the idea, I suppose. Just
okay, so when did it, so what was this night called, just for
you? Oh, for the record, we were talking about Trumfrau. We started Trumfrau in April last year.
Yeah.
So actually we started it a long time before that. We started just like fantasizing about it for a very, very long time.
So, and was that when you first came?
No, probably 6 months before the actual night started. We started like just going around venues and like having completely useless meetings with friends and like making lists of possible places and all that, and but nothing was actually happening. And then at some point we're like, okay, this is just gonna happen, like we have to put a night together. And so we came up with like the concept and the visual, like all the promo material, and then we found a venue, and then we started just like, because I didn't really know much of the community in Brighton, like much of the LGBT community. I mean, like, we knew our friends, but not much more than that. And I really wanted the project to feel a bit like it belonged to everyone. So I tried to get people to give me inputs. So just started like through Facebook, just to ask people for opinions and what would they like and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of wanted to have not much ownership over it, at least to begin with. Like, I wanted to make sure that this is, and also like, you're putting up a night and nobody knows who you are and what the night is. Like, oops, I think I just broke your pen. yeah, so I just tried to engage with the community basically and see what was out there and what was missing and what people wanted to do, really.
And what was the feedback?
Really nice. Like, we made a point, like with our first night, we made a point that everyone who was going to play as a DJ or like as a live act had to meet for coffee with us before. Because I think the idea was, well, we're going to get people to help us out. We don't know if we're going to make any money, if it's going to be a failure, if it's going to be great. And we want to make sure that people are doing it and not doing it for stage. Like, they're doing it because they think that it's a nice project. And so we had this thing where we just like met with people for coffee and said, you know, if we're going to make any money, we'll pay you. If not, well, then we failed, then it's a shame.
Okay.
And, you know, what do you think of the project? Like, just kind of, I guess, getting to know the people around us that were going to work with us. And that was really nice. And also kept a few lunatics away and, you know, just made sure that people wouldn't just rock up straight away at the night and actually not feel emotionally involved with the project. So yeah, that was kind of their preparation. We had like, everyone was really, really, really enthusiastic. Everyone we contacted was like, oh, this is really needed and we're so happy to help and we're so happy to be on board. And yeah, and that's how it all started, I suppose.
So tell me about the first night then.
The first night was really fun because we actually didn't know. I mean, we invited all our friends, so we knew that 20 people were going to come, but that's pretty much it. Like, you put up a night from scratch. You don't know if the flyers you've given away were all chucked into the bin. Like, you actually have no idea. And the place was packed, and it was packed with really lovely people. It was an older crowd. Like, actually, the crowd got a bit younger now, but it was a proper older crowd, and everyone was just really, really, really excited. And yeah, so it was a bit of a shock, really. Like, we sold out kind of thing. We filled up the venue, and yeah, it felt really unbelievable. Like, we were really, really excited. And now we've been going on for like nearly a year. So That's quite a long time. What else? George Jones Pine.
Where was the first venue?
We started with the Tube, which is a great venue because it feels like, you know, a cave. And it had like a bit of an underground feel to it. And also we used to get the venue quite early in the day. Like we'd get it at 5 p.m. and decorate the entire place and just hang out there for hours. So it had a proper feel to it. Like I think the nights there were really, felt really personal. Like it wasn't just like you rock up and it's a club night and you have a dance and you leave. Like we used to have quite a bit of time to make it special. And then the place became too small and quite dangerous.
Dangerous?
Really hot, really sweaty, really slippery. The PA system started just going bad, and so we had to move to a new place. So we are the Haunt now, which is a lot bigger and kind of nice in a way, because like people get to breathe and they get enough space, and we have a separate upstairs, so we get to do like little art projects and arts and crafts up there, and so that's really great and fun for people who actually don't like dancing. But it is not as, I think it's not as personal and kind of interesting as the Tube was. So we're going to start moving around to different venues now again, different sizes, and have kind of different parties, like, yeah.
So tell me about the arts and crafts side then, because you've got the kind of club side.
Yeah, the club side. The initial format was have a theme for the night and try to have decoration that kind of follows the theme, and posters and all that kind of stuff, and then have some side activity and have a live act and have DJs. But obviously it's kind of hard to have all of that, and it's also kind of hard to like have a live act in a club because people really want to dance. So we had to narrow down the selection of live acts to things that would actually work in kind of a clubbish environment. So like people who do electronic music, you know, experimental music, but we obviously can't have anything acoustic or like although we had a couple of gigs that were actually gigs, so that's something we also want to try to do. But the second thing we're trying to do is have some sort of side activity for people who don't want to dance all night, but also just because having a separate room with other stuff going on is a really good thing for people to interact over. So we had some screen printing for the first couple of months, the third and fourth night, I think, so people could make their own t-shirts on the spot. That was quite fun. And then we had just some big posters in the room, and people get to like paint, and there's a theme, obviously, like the theme of the night, so they get to just like sit upstairs in the venue and paint and stick and cut and just be childish and fun. We had a cunt crop, which was great. People got to like build some incredible cunting, which is like bunting with vaginas. That was really fun. I think that was like one of our most appreciated art and crafts. We tried to get other people to organize that. So like the screen printing is done by people who actually do screen printing. That's also a nice way to get more people involved in the project. So you know, they did designs that were especially for us, or we did designs that were like, you know, that followed the theme of the night. We had like a cyborg design, and then we had a Pussy Riot when we did like a benefit night, and then we had kind of a sexual awareness t-shirt that we designed so that lesbians would test for STIs. So that changes a little bit. And then the cunt crop was done by this woman who has done a lot of research in, you know, women and pleasure and things like that. So that's kind of her job. And I'm not sure what we're going to have next in terms of arts and crafts. But yeah, we're kind of always open to suggestions, basically. What else do we try to have on the night? So yeah, the next few nights are going to be a bit different because we're moving around venues. So we're going to have some spoken word and more acoustic music, and then kind of like in an earlier slot, and then the club. And we're going to have probably a short like half-day festival of live music in May. And we've started doing arts and crafts night that are separate from the club. So like rather than upstairs at the club, do them like a week before. And so people get to make the decoration for the club. So then they go dancing in a place that they contributed to. And also for us, it's kind of good because it means that we're not imposing something from above. Like, we're not imposing... Because, like, the idea of the night is to be quite political because it is a queer night. But we don't want to be dictating what the politics are. So I think because if it's a community night, it's kind of fair and right that people can decide what to say and how to say it. So we had a really fun, a couple of weeks ago, we had a really fun session here at the Marlborough, and people got to make zin pages and bunting about consent. And then we had that all around the club, so that was great. Yeah, that's pretty much Tramfer, I think.
So what do you think the kind of live acts bring, like the gigs bring to the actual night?
Well, I think the idea in general was to, and that was kind of like the, our first tagline was like, music you actually like. And so we just wanted to keep like good decent quality to like a gay night, because there's not much of that going on. So we thought, you know, we wanted to promote like female artists who are possibly local, who do things that, you know, like are not necessarily out there. So I think that was the idea of the live music. But then we realized it's actually quite hard to promote local people because you don't necessarily find things that suit the kind of night that you're having. Which is why we really want to do this like short half day festival, just to have more of the local women playing for us. But yeah, that was the idea. Have a night that wasn't just a club night. That was a bit about music as well, and quality, and kind of, you know, was more appropriate for people who didn't necessarily like clubbing as well.
What's the response that you've had to the live acts?
Not as good as we expected, to be fair, I think. But that's, you know, we're learning it because we're not professionals. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not a promoter, neither is Georgia. Like, this is not anything we know how to do. Like, the only way we're doing it as best as we can, and we're really passionate and really excited about it, but we actually don't know what we're doing. So we're kind of just learning from feedback. Like, we ask people to do tell us what they think, and they do. Like, our Saturdays are full of emails from people going like, that was really shit, or that was really lovely. But yeah, we did realize that if you start a club night at 11, you cannot have a live act that's acoustic or quite, you know, insightful, quiet music, or but some things do work. Like, we had a woman from New York, Sabrina Chapp, who did some sort of cabaret more style music, and people went nuts, like, just because she was really energetic and really fun. And that was at the Haunt. I mean, like, that was in a big club where people wanted to dance, but everyone was really, really excited. So I think it really depends on the performer, and just making sure that you give someone the right stage and the right environment and the right, like, because it'd be really awful to get people to come and do something and not have the right environment for it. So we call people to do some spoken word for March, and they were really concerned about like having people dancing or like the noise. So, you know, we are making sure that they tell us what their concerns are, and we've like, for example, we're gonna have the spoken word on at like 8 p.m. and then have no music when that happens, and then start a club. But yeah, I think people don't really want to be challenged as much as we thought. Like, they're kind of happy with like the happy 80s, easy 80s, but we're not gonna give up. Yeah.
Is the reception still going strong? I mean, are numbers increasing or are they decreasing? Or have you found it just varies?
Quite steady, really. What varies is the crowd a lot. So, like, we're quite steady in numbers. Like, we usually do all right. Like, the club is fairly full. But I think since moving to the new venue, since moving to the Haunt, the crowd has changed a fair bit. Because it's either people who already used to go to that venue and didn't used to come to Tramfer before, and also a bit of a younger crowd. The students are getting involved and really excited about it. And I think that has pushed away a few older people, but we are, you know, trying really hard to like make it okay for everyone and comfortable for everyone to be there. But yeah, no, numbers have been quite steady. I mean, this could potentially become a really big night, but it's not something we want. I think we all feel really strongly about not wanting that, because we don't really want to have to compromise. We found that like loads of people left like on the first night we had at the Hon, because the music was a bit more complex, and we just like, instead of having like, you know, 90s or, you know, Riot Girls 90s or like 80s, we had like a DJ who was making music on the spot, and like it was kind of, it was really beautiful and really interesting. But I think many people were like, ah, let's go to Revenge, like this is not, we just want to have a bit of fun and have a sing along when we dance and all that. So I think we'd rather move to, we're looking at like smaller places basically, so we don't have to compromise on the quality of what we do. And you know, that will work out somehow, I think. But yeah, it's been going quite well in terms of numbers.
What's the response you've had from the venues that you've been?
The venues love us, I think, in a way, because we are, you know, because Brighton is like, and I think it's quite in just like a business, in a business kind of way, I think they love us. It's not emotional, but you know, I think it's a good reputation to have a gay night on in Brighton, because it's kind of a gay town, and so having a gay night that's also quite nice, it's probably a good thing for them. Like, we had nights at the Blind Tiger, I mean, venues that like have quite strong ethics about their music, so they probably wouldn't take on board a gay night that was a bit like dodgy from that point of view. So I think for them it works out quite well. They managed to have a gay night on, but also a night like the nights we had at the Blind Tiger, we had a live band from New York, that's super queer and really good. So for them it worked quite well. And then what else did we do at the Blind Tiger? We had a Christmas party, and we had J.D. Samson at the Blind Tiger. So I think the venues are quite happy. The Haunt was very enthusiastic at first, but I think now they're realizing that we're not going to like get them 1,000 people through the door, but that's fine too. But yeah, generally everyone has been really, really nice and really enthusiastic. So we're going to have a night at the Grindor store in May. And our March night is going to be at the Latest Music Bar. So we kind of want to move around also to keep it interesting and fun. What else? Did I forget to say something about Trumfra? I think that's all. We have badges. Yeah, that doesn't show in the tape. I can't really think of anything else.
Who's on the kind of committee? Like, it's not just yourself who organises
it. It's me, Georgia, and our friend Jenny, who is in London. So obviously she can't do all the, like, you know, networking and going around and meeting people, and like, which is like the biggest part of it, is like to actually know who you're organising a party for, like, and to also like use the platform for like other stuff. Like, there's, you know, the women at university have not started a night called Femrock, so they like put on live music by female artists, and yeah, I met up with them a couple of times and said, you know, like, use our page to advertise that, like, because it's a really nice project, and there's plenty of people and there's enough space for everyone to do good things. If anything, like, we need more. So so that side of it is more me and Georgia, I suppose, because we're here. Jenny does all our promotional material, so she does all our posters and flyers, and she has got really good ideas. So she does all the ideas too. And yeah, it's mainly us, and obviously our amazing friends help with everything. Like, we, you know, we do kind of force them to do arts and crafts with us every month, and help us build things and help us on the door and all that jazz. So there's a lot of people who feel like they have quite a bit of ownership over the night and always have flyers in their backpack and all that. So who else helps? Really, all our friends do. The people at the Marlborough help, like, they sell tickets for us, so no one has to pay booking fees and all. But yeah, it's mainly the three of us, really.
So what's it like, Trumfra, behind the scenes? Is it difficult? Is it tense?
It's
is it stressful?
it's very stressful because we don't know what we're doing. I think it could be a lot less stressful if we were like really good at planning 3 months in advance, but we're not. Like, our next night is in, you know, 28 days. We don't have the flyers yet. We're not entirely sure who's going to play. We just like have really good ideas and we know it's going to be really great and we're really excited about the venue. But yeah, it's very stressful because it's like, oh, deadline for flyers is tomorrow. Let's make sure everyone confirms that they're going to play and going to be there. But we're not sure. And so yeah, it's fairly stressful because we're a bit hopeless. But it's incredibly fun, at least to me. I'm really, really, really enjoying it. I've met so many incredible people. Like, it's been exciting. And it's a lot of work for sure. Like, I think it's more work than what people think. Like, which again is probably because we don't really know what we're doing very well. But yeah, yeah, it's a super exciting project. What else? I'm not sure.
So just kind of backtracking a little bit, you mentioned that you kind of get the community involved and get the responses after a night. You mentioned kind of some of the feedback that they give. Is there anything really negative that the community's...
Oh God, there's always drama. I mean, there's always community drama, which I'm happy to engage with if it's constructive and if it comes from a nice place. And also I think that, I mean, if that's what people think, then they're completely entitled to. We had, you know, like, we have the usual comments about the music. People who hate the rock and roll, and then people who hate the 80s, and people who hate the alternative, and people... So we did come to the conclusion that it's just impossible to please everyone from that point of view. We try to have... Which for us is harder to organize, but we try to have, like, 3-4 DJs every night. So it means that... It means that, like, more people are going to be pleased with the music. But it's also more of a headache for us, because, like, the night is fairly short. It's, like, 3.5 hours. So really, we could have, like, 1 or 2 DJs. So mainly, we get feedback about the music. But also, yeah, I guess we get all sorts. Like, last month, we had a fairly unpleasant... Should I be talking about this? We had a fairly unpleasant discussion. Basically, ever since moving to the Haunt, I think because it's a proper club, people started being a bit more, like, aggressive in a way that's just kind of more of a mid-market vibe to the place. People kind of grabbing other people on the dance floor and being a bit intrusive in a way that, like, I think some women feel is okay because they're women. But actually, if someone did it to them in a straight club, they wouldn't feel comfortable. And I think because we tell people that it's a queer night, it's really important that we offer a space that's really safe and really comfortable for everyone. And I think that's been really off-putting for certain people who go out clubbing and they think they're going to, like, go clubbing in a place that's quite political and really respectful and really, you know... And actually they walk in and there's, like, women grabbing them and, like, dirty dancing with them without their permission. So we were, like, quite upset about that. And, you know, I think it's fine as well. Like, it's not like it's a massive deal. Like, there was no violence going on. But, you know, I thought, well, we might as well tackle the problem and do something about it. So we thought, oh, we'll write down some, like, you know, golden rules for the club and, like, so people know what's accepted and acceptable and what's not. And then we thought, well, actually, let's... Georgia suggested it's a bit patronizing, which is fair enough. And so we thought, oh, how else can we go about this? And so we came up with a theme. So we thought, oh, we'll make sure that the entire night is themed around that. So people who act like that feel outnumbered by their own crowd, because if, you know, like, which makes more sense. It's like if you're surrounded by, like, posters and decorations that, you know, explain that, you know, certain things are cool and certain other things are actually quite abusive, you're not gonna act like a jerk. Like, you are gonna be friendly and you are gonna be nice. And so we themed the entire night around consent, and we called it Consent is Sexy, which is kind of the name of a very big international campaign, actually, that's been voted by the student union last year, but that's also been going on around the States and stuff. And we decided to, like, have a week before, have a night here, and that's when we did the arts and crafts for the club. So we wouldn't be writing the rules, like it'd be other people doing that. And we did get a bit of headache around that, because some people were like, oh, it's, you're like sexualizing the issue of consent, you're making it into something sexy, you're making it into something appealing, you're using it as a marketing strategy. And, you know, so there was a bit of drama around that. So you do get the odd, like, you know, political debate online where you try to explain that, like, we come from a really good place and we appreciate it. You don't agree with us, and you know, we're happy to rephrase it if you don't think that's right, but we're also happy to explain why we did it and all that. But I think ultimately that's okay. Like, you know, we also, you know, we had political drama every now and then. Like, we had one in the second month when we had some feminists that people did not appreciate on the posters. Betty Friedan, yeah, on the posters, and they're like, oh, she hated lesbians, why do you have her on the posters for a lesbian night? And we're like, well, you know, go on, have the debate. Like, I think in a way it's really nice, because it get people, like, when we got that complaint about the theme of consent, loads of people replied, and some of them I didn't actually know, like, but it just showed that there was a lot of support from the community. Like, people I'd met once or twice were like, oh, don't say that, because these people are doing a great job and it's a really good night and it's, you know, it's decent and they're decent people. And like, so I think it's all fine. Like, I think you always get, I also got loads of text messages of people seeing the debate online going like, don't worry, you're doing a great job, you're always gonna have someone being pissed off. But I think it's all fairly healthy debate as well. Like, there's some awful, like, there's some proper awful nights out there that market themselves with, like, you know, words like booty, or like with naked girls and posters, or like, you know, teenage girls in underpants. So I think, you know, in that kind of context, people can agree or disagree with us, but it's always going to be quite a healthy and intelligent debate. Like, we're not, you know, we're not discussing things that are obviously wrong. There's more to that. So yeah, I don't think anyone has ever, like, fun. Yeah, I think that the past month has been the most problematic in terms of, like, politics, I guess. But then, you know, we really wanted to do it, so we did it. I can't think of anything else to say.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, and then anything kind of really positive?
Anything really positive about Trump, Ra?
Like, from the feedback?
Oh, I think we have people who, like, are actually genuinely incredibly excited about the project, and I think that's great. And it's, like, people who we met through Trump Row who are, like, this is the once a month we go out and we made loads of amazing friends. And, yeah, like, the people who were sitting here and, like, cutting triangles, like, some of them were, like, it was a straight couple. Like, you know, people are actually really, really, really excited about the project, and I think that's great. You know, I got a message saying last Saturday saying, this is the first time I had fun clubbing in Brighton. So I think that's all kind of really, really nice, and it makes the effort worth it as well. And we have loads of people who come every month, absolutely every month, and then, you know, write on our Facebook page and, you know, are very affectionate and very excited. And yeah, I think that's the good thing about it is, and we have fun. Like, we actually go to the night as well and make a lot of friends, loads of friends, and we have great chats, and I've met so many nice people through the night, so that's great. And, you know, then you get people to, like, interview you, and no, but it does open doors to, like, really interesting projects as well, like, that have nothing to do with the night, but, like, people do ask you to get involved in other things. And
so like what?
Like, you know, like, we had people, an artist emailing me last week saying, can I use your page to advertise my project? Like, I'm a gay artist and I've been told that you know, like the new music night at uni, or just people will get in touch because they know that, like, we have just quite a big crowd, I suppose, or they want to know how we organize it and get advice, or they want to know if we want to get on board with something else. So, yeah.
Awesome. How does Tramfire work? Is it kind of do you have funding from anyone to do it, or no. Is it purely
we started it with like based? Yeah, we started it with like £100, I think. That was like our
from our own money.
I mean, just like to print posters and flyers. And then it works like any other club night in Brighton. Like, you get a venue, and the venue gets the big bucks and the bar, and we get the door. And so part of that we respend for the next night. Part of it we keep. It's fairly simple math. Like, it's not like you don't need to be a business genius to run it, which is great because we're not. it's like it all works in fivers that you get on the door. And then, you know, you pay the DJs and the prints and the designer and, like, the photographer. And then, yeah, some nights you make a bit of money, some other nights you're done. And, yeah, so it's great.
But generally it's pretty good.
Yeah, we never lost money, which I think is really great. But also it's...
The expenses are very low.
The expenses are not very high. I mean, like, we make a point of paying everyone who works with us because it's kind of just fair. To not just power trip on people and go like, oh, you're taking pictures for us, it's a great night, do it for free. Like, I think it's a bit gross. But, yeah, it's a fairly easy thing to do, like, in terms of money and budget. It's more like how to keep it really fun and interesting, that's the work.
So what's the future of Tramfire?
Well, hopefully, I think... more music. We want to start doing things that have nothing to do with the club night, so like just things that are like free films at pubs, or like, you know, queer cinema or debates or more arts and crafts, which I think is just really, really great. So we'd like to do, ideally, like on top of the club night once a month, do something else, which could be a movie or some sort of other event. And then, yeah, more live music, I guess. And keep going until we get a bit sick of it, because, you know, then maybe pass it on to someone else or do something different. But I think Brighton is really enjoying it, like, and in a genuine way. Like, I think that actually everyone is quite glad this is happening, and so I think we'll keep doing it until that's the case. And then when it feels like you need to drag people to it and like encourage them and it doesn't feel fresh and exciting anymore, then I guess that's when it will stop, because we're not becoming millionaires with it anyway, so it doesn't, like, I think in a way it's like, it's great to do it if it serves a purpose and if it's really exciting for others, and then it's exciting for us. And when that will stop happening, I guess we'll just do something different.
How does it fit in with your kind of personal life?
It's kind of most of our personal life right now. But yeah, it's become quite a big chunk of it, in many ways, in terms of time particularly, obviously, but also in terms of how we socialize and what we do. And, you know, you go and see a band because you think you're booking it, or like you go to someone else's event to like network or to see if they want to get involved in something, or like a lot of coffee meetings and drink meetings, and yeah, you having a meeting half an hour. Yeah, so it's become quite a big part of our life.
How's that make you feel?
I love it. Like, I wish that was all I did, really, in a way. And I wish I was really good at doing it, which I'm learning, which is very exciting to do, because I've learned a lot. And in so many ways, I think, because that's something me and Georgia were discussing a couple of weeks ago. Like, because we run a queer night, we've become really careful about our language and our politics, and become a lot more curious and a lot more interested in our community. And I think, in a way, like, I feel like the project has made me slightly better. Kind of sounds very naive, I suppose, but it's also true. Like, it's, if you do something and you want to do it well and you want to do it for the community and it's not just like a business, then you have to take responsibility for what you do. Like, you just can't bullshit people. And I think that's one of like the really nice side effects of like running a queer night, is that we got to meet people who are really engaged and really political, and got to like just get involved in things that are very interesting. And So it makes me feel really good that that's part of my life. And yeah.
So you mentioned your language has kind of changed.
Yeah, I think in many ways it's like I've become a lot more aware of what I say. Not just, not because I say it in public, even with my friends. It's like you run a queer night that's got a different theme every time, and we do a lot of, you know, reading and research, and like you just kind of widen your political horizons in a way, I suppose. And also got to know really interesting people who just confronted me on a lot of themes, and like, you know, even like as simply how to keep the night really welcoming for people and really inclusive. It means that you need to sit down and think a lot about, like, even just our tagline, like, we changed their life four times because we want it to be a night mainly for women, because there's not much of that going on, but we don't want it to be alienating if you are not a woman, or if you just feel like a woman, or if you just like really like hanging out with women but you're a man. So I think there's been a lot of like people feel very comfortable coming to us and going like, oh, I think your tagline is really shit. And some friends from London told me that they would never come down because it's really awful. And like, so you sit down and actually have really interesting conversations with people. And so that's why I think my language has changed in so many ways. It's like, people have told me that they don't feel comfortable with the word girl because it's like really linked to some sort of like fake femininity in a way, and like really shallow, and they prefer being called women. Or like people say they don't want to be called women at all. I even had someone like emailing me going like, I'm normal, I'm not queer, don't call me queer, like, you know. And you know, I remember the woman on Gaydar. It's like, I'm like everybody else. And I was like, oh, that's a political term, like, I'm happy to discuss this with you. And like, but just even like realizing that for some people that's uncomfortable. So I think just becoming a little bit more sensitive to people who are, because I think there's also a lot of like, this city is so inclusive and so open-minded, but actually it's only inclusive if you're like really cool and white and healthy. And like we couldn't find a venue that was like wheelchair accessible to the arts and crafts. This venue is, which is great, but it was like, what a line, like Brighton being so inclusive and great, and we run a club night in a place that's full of steps, and then like we make arts and crafts, which is great for people who are in wheelchairs because they probably don't enjoy the club night. And so we're going to have to make sure that it's in a place that's accessible. So I think that, yeah, in a way it's been really great as a project because it has made us kind of a lot more aware, I suppose.
So you mentioned like the tagline's been changing.
Yeah.
What was it originally?
I think, I don't remember. I think it was Brighton's new queer night for girls and their friends. So we wanted to make sure we mentioned that it's a night for women, but it's not at all a lesbian night. So it's not just for women, and also we didn't want to call it a lesbian night. We called it a queer night because it's, you know, different. Then we changed it into an intellectual dance floor for the unusual crowd. So we didn't mention the word queer at all. And we didn't, you know, because we thought, actually, this is just a dance floor. It's not a queer night. There's not enough politics going on. Then we changed it into a queer dance floor for the unusual crowd. Then I think now it's, I can't even remember what was on the last flyer. But we decided to not, like, have one tagline. Because I think, in a way, if it changes every month, then people know that it's not set in stone. Like, there's also this thing of, like, please don't take this so seriously. The awards are really important, but also, you know what the idea is, like, you know you're going to walk in and everyone is going to be friendly with you, like, so that as well, I suppose. And I think, you know, ultimately the crowd is shaping the night as well, you know. It's like technology, it's like, you know, you make it for one thing, but then people are going to use it differently. Like, there used to be mainly women, loads of like young men have started coming to the night, like young art students from Brighton Uni who just really don't like going to Revenge, and like they're like, oh, it's a lesbian night, but the music is lovely, so we're just gonna tag along and like then, you know, invite our friends. So I think it's gonna become what is needed, basically, and I'm happy for that to happen, I suppose.
Okay.
I don't know. Were you doing that sound?
Yeah. And for you, what's the best part of Trump Rock?
What's my favourite part? The decoration is my favourite part, because I'm a child at heart, I suppose. I'm starting to enjoy the club night more and more. Like, I used to enjoy a lot of the tube, because I just, like, my job was going around and meeting people, because I actually didn't know many gay people in Brighton. I really just wanted to, like, I just stand in the smoking area and ask people what they think and what do they want next month and all that. So that used to be my favourite part. But then when we moved to the Hunt, that part became more complicated to do because it's a big club and it's noisy and, like, so now my favourite part is dancing. I do a lot of dancing. I upset my partners because I hide on the dance floor and don't want to work on the door and all that. So now my favorite part is dancing. Yeah, but definitely I think the preparation, like just coming up with a theme and thinking about how to develop it and yeah, making posters and all that. The part I hate the most, because people don't think that that's what we do as well, is standing in the cold and flyering. So yeah, we don't do it enough because we meet up, to do that, people don't want to get their hands out of their pocket to grab the flyer. We just end up walking around getting really cold. And yeah, so, you know, flyering and putting up posters is probably what I don't like as much, but that's got to be done. So a couple of days a week doing that, and it's part of it. Yeah, that's it really. I think we're not, you know, like, maybe if we're very good at marketing, we wouldn't need to do that. But, like, we're kind of just, like, a bit all over the place. Like, we have to go to all the other gigs and bring our flyers, and we have to go all to all the other gay events and bring flyers, and we have to spend quite a bit of time online, just because we are quite chaotic in the way we're doing it still, because we don't really know how to do it properly. But that's okay.
Okay, tell me about the name Tramprow.
Not much thinking gone into that, to be fair. It was
Jenny's idea.
Yeah, it was Jenny's idea. I think we were all just brainstorming for names, and she came up with Tramprow, and I thought, oh, it sounds great, and it's kind of like, in a way, it can be quite an ironic name, because it means dream woman, and it's kind of a bit gross. It's like everything I don't want to be like. And so I think in the first night, like, we did some bunting to bring around the club, just to, like, make sure that people knew what the night was about. So we did it with friends and stuff. So, like, we made little buntings of, like, be your own dream woman, or, like, nobody's dream woman. Like, so I think the name is just a name that sounds really good, and we did try to make sure that people got the idea that, you know, we're not being like, oh, you know, it's all about being a dream woman with very beautiful breasts. You know, it was more of a joke. but most people don't wonder. It's just like a weird German sounding name. They call us Trauma Frau. Trans Frau. My a very good trans friend of mine is like has renamed it Trans Frau. We get all sorts. I think Trauma Frau is my favorite. So yeah, tell us about it. But so that's the story of the name really. It all started shaping itself really slowly as well. Like, we had the first poster with Liza Minnelli on it, and then we thought, oh, it's gonna be like really shiny icons every month, or we can have like first night have like 10 different shiny icons of, like, you know, quite fancy women, and then second night we can have 10 different writers, and then third night we can have 10 different musicians, and then that didn't happen. We decided to have themes instead, so it's all kind of a work in progress, I suppose. A lot of it just, like, because of other people's feedback, we've changed things around quite a bit. Have you got any fun for our suggestion? You hate it, don't you?
Awesome. Okay. So let's just end it on, do you foresee staying in Brighton yourself?
If I think I'll stay in Brighton, well, hopefully. I mean, if I can survive, there's not much work going on in this city, is there? But yeah, I really, really, really enjoy my life here. I think it's a great place. So yeah, ideally, I think I can see myself sticking around for a bit. You know, having a little family of friends, probably the family of friends. And yeah, I'd love to stay in Brighton. It's been treating me very well. So. What else? That's it.
You happy?
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Good.
Awesome. All right. So, end it. Thank you.